Hello and welcome to the Climate Clinic, a podcast brought to you by the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. My name is Adesh Sundaresan, and I'm a doctor from University College London. In this series, Be the Expert, I'll be joined weekly by my co-host, Dr. Mark Futenik, an emergency physician from Los Angeles. Each week, Mark and I will bring you the latest headlines from climate and health research from the leading evidence-based journals from around the world. Tune in to learn about the health implications of climate change, how this is affecting us today, and what needs to be done. By the end of it, you'll know all you need to know in order to be the expert.
Welcome back to episode 11 of Be the Expert, and Happy New Year to all of our listeners. I spent a lot of my break converting our front yard from a dead grass lawn into what would be more appropriate for my drought-stricken area, which are sort of drought-tolerant plants, et cetera. And I did this to some extent in the backyard earlier this year. And many people who are involved in climate advocacy do it because they love nature and spend a lot of time in nature. It's not that I don't love nature, but that wasn't my calling. My calling was really about human health. But getting into the dirt and working with the plants over the last year and over this break has really brought a renewed sense of purpose and appreciation for nature. So for me, it was really valuable and a great way to kick off the new year. We've got some great research perspectives for you in the coming weeks, and we're kicking things off with another episode that looks at some of the mental health impacts from climate change. Adesh, what do we got today?
Mark, first of all, I'm super envious of the work you've been getting up to over the festive period. Since our podcast recording on nature-based interventions, I've been racking my brains as to how I can get stuck in the coming spring and summer here in the UK. And I've been considering throwing my name in the hat for gardening, whether that's an allotment or setting up some sort of green space near where I live in London. But I forget that it's perennially summer and warm there over in LA for you. So as soon as it starts to get a little bit more amenable to it, I will be outside digging away.
Well, Adesh, I hear you might be coming to LA at some point, so I hope I have a lot of growth and you can see what we've got going here.
Really looking forward to it, Mark. So today we're going to be touching on an important issue, and it builds on the episode that we covered a few weeks ago. So we'll be looking at a review which is titled Climate Change and Risk of Completed Suicide. So this was a review article published in the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease in July 2020. The authors were Caroline Dumont, Elizabeth Huss, Trigvi Dolba, Janet Lewis, and John Coverdale. The authors not only looked at the available literature that connects climate change and suicide, but also the methodological issues and the challenges associated with this area of research. The authors started off by highlighting in this paper, and this hit me quite hard, that there are nearly 1 million deaths by suicide globally every year, and it's the 10th leading cause of death in the US. And this is rising. This number is rising all throughout the world. And there have been specific communities or groups which have been affected by climate change, where elevated rates of suicide have been observed. And the review addresses four aspects of anthropogenic climate change and the associated findings on suicide rates. So firstly, it looks at the impacts from air pollution, from the burning of fossil fuels, smoke, ozone production. Secondly, the associations and the links with higher temperatures, including ambient temperature and increased heat wave frequency. Third, looking at habitat changes that are linked to rising global temperatures, including changes in landscape, food sources and availability, plant and marine life, and droughts. And finally, impacts of ocean warming, including more frequent natural disasters, sea level rise, and the associated predicted mass migration.
So starting with air pollution, they looked at comprehensive studies from Asia and the United States, which examined the relationship between air pollution and suicide rates. And these studies demonstrate an increase in the rate of suicide that ranges from 2 to 20%, depending on the pollutant studied, the time frame, and other factors. So specifically, these studies found that increased exposure to particulate matter, ozone, sulfur dioxide, NOx or nitric oxides are all associated with increases in many mental health diagnoses. Of course, to be biologically plausible, we need a hypothesis and some evidence for a pathologic mechanism, and we have that. It appears that neuroinflammation may be the mechanism we seek. And this theory is supported by biological markers and increased coincidence of other inflammatory conditions.
So next, Mark, the authors looked at the connection between rising temperatures and suicide rates around the world. So at present, or at the time of this study in 2020, with the implementation of the policies around the world that had been endorsed at the time, we can project or expect a two-thirds probability of temperatures rising around 2.9 to 3.2 degrees Celsius. The overall increase in heat-related suicides that would be predicted by around about this 3-degree increase in temperature is within the range of about 2 to 6%. So this is quite significant. Now, since pre-19th century, we've seen a seasonal pattern to suicide rates, which has been observed, with rates tending to increase in late spring and early summer compared to the fall and winter. And I suppose this, Mark, this is an interesting point because it differs to what anecdotally and probably people assume to be the times of the year during which you might expect an increased suicide rate. People often assume maybe in winter when the nights are longer and there, you know, potentially more cases of seasonal affective disorders as well. People might struggle and the rates of suicide might be increased, but actually it's during late spring and early summer when the rates are highest. And so we've seen this trend since for the last few hundred years, but it's been really hard for us to pinpoint the causes of these fluctuations. These seasonal patterns of suicide have been reported in the literature from many, many countries and geographic areas around the world. And they likely represent a phenomenon related to variations in temperature, daylight exposure, chronobiological aspects of mood disorders, and socioeconomic factors. It's probably multifactorial, Mark, the reasons behind seasonal fluctuations in suicide rates. The authors remind us that since climate change is defined over a longer period of time, researching climate-related suicides over large populations and for longer periods of time or durations is more likely to capture the actual trends and minimize some of these confounding factors such as seasonal variation. So recent studies that have taken this approach looked over longer time periods, so decadal studies, over larger populations as well, have indeed found that suicide rates increase with warmer temperatures. One of these significant studies, which was by Burke in 2018, examined the effect of local ambient temperature in the US and Mexico on suicide by using vital statistics over a large geographic area. And it incorporated a much larger population than similar studies. So it looked at about 850,000 people in the US and over 600,000 people in Mexico. And they found that between 1990 and 2010, so a 20-year period, suicide rates increased by 0.7% in the US and about 2% in Mexico for every degree, every single degree Celsius increase in monthly average temperature. So they concluded that if climate change proceeds unmitigated under a business as usual RCP 8.5 scenario, it'll probably add an estimated 9,000 to 40,000 additional suicide deaths by 2050. So I often find, Mark, it's more hard-hitting when we consider the actual sheer number. When we say 0.7 or 2.1%, these seem like small numbers, but when we actually look, 40,000 could be very significant. Their data indicates a relatively linear response of suicide rates to monthly average temperatures as well.
And Desh, you made some really important points about being objective about studying these things. You know, we can make assumptions based on our individual experience or what seems to be commonly known, but until we get into the data and look at the facts, it's hard to make good decisions. I'd like to focus on India for a moment because I was kind of blown away by some of these statistics. 1/4 of all the world's suicides are in India, and the rate has doubled since 1980. And so they highlighted the association with the growing season in this population and theorized that this demonstrates the importance of hope, as in there's no hope when the crops are dying, leading to more suicide. One study from India by Carlton in 2017 explored the effects of exposure to temperature and rainfall in India. And this study found that fluctuations in climate, in particular higher temperatures during the growing season, correlate positively with suicide rates. On days above 20 degrees Celsius, a day's increase of 1 degree during the growing season added 0.008 suicides per 100,000 persons annually. But the point is that it was statistically significant. And then when you look across the larger population, this would amount to a total of about 60,000 additional deaths by suicide since 1980. There's no association between temperature and suicide rates in the non-growing season. The cause of the increased rates are a source of debate, as factors such as lower crop yields from higher temperatures causing economic strain could also lead to higher rates of suicide, rather than it being an effect of the actual temperature itself. But either way, I think these findings are really significant given the extent to which rising global temperatures will impact agricultural communities everywhere.
Those are some really interesting points, Mark. The authors then came on to associations between drought and suicide. So as they pointed out, warming climates can lower crop yields, which can indirectly lead to suicide rates going up. But they also wanted to assess whether drought is an independent risk factor for climate change-related suicide. So as we know, droughts have a slow, vague onset, often indirect manifestations, and they can be quite unpredictable as to when they occur. And the severity of the impact is determined partly by the behaviors of the people that are affected by the drought. All of these parameters increase the total mental stress caused by droughts and make it even more difficult to isolate the individual elements of this complex drought-associated psychology that impacts the mental well-being of the population. Most of the studies looking at the impact of drought on mental health have been conducted in Australia. Australia is a country with the world's widest climatic fluctuation, a large rural and indigenous population as well. And studies have generally shown an increase in psychological distress overall, and specifically suicide, although only under specific drought conditions and particularly amongst rural farmers as well. So a recent study of drought-related suicides that was conducted in New South Wales, one of the states in Australia, found that suicide rates from 1970 to 2007 increased in rural males aged between 30 to 49 by 15% when the drought index increased from the first to the third quartile mark.
The authors discuss that when it comes to natural disasters, despite the known association with depression, as we've covered, the association with death by suicide is less clear. Other specific groups that they discussed included indigenous populations, refugees, and immigrants. Proportionally higher rates of suicide have long been recognized in indigenous populations compared with non-indigenous populations. However, there's not much direct evidence of climate change impacts on completed suicide itself within this group. Populations will be increasingly displaced by climate change, causing people to flee from one developing country to another with little access to infrastructure and mental health support when they arrive and throughout the entire immigration experience. This already occurs throughout the world, with large populations fleeing violence and political instability. Akinyemi et al. Found that in a Nigerian refugee camp composed mostly of Liberians, studied in 2012, 27% of the residents of the refugee camp endorsed some passive suicidal ideation in the previous month, compared with 17% of the host population. So a 10% absolute difference, which is quite a bit. It's reasonable to suspect that populations displaced by climate change will also face a high burden of mental distress and suicidality. And this will impact large numbers of people, considering the predicted increase in climate change-induced migration and the lack of resources available in the destination countries.
So in conclusion, Mark, the authors seem to have found that there's convincing evidence that the impacts of greenhouse gases, air pollution, rising global temperatures directly increase suicide risk. And this makes it an issue of global concern when it comes to psychiatry. Although no population subgroup is immune from global climate impacts, climate change disproportionately increases the psychosocial stressors that contribute to suicide in vulnerable populations. These include indigenous people, whose way of life is tied to the natural resources of the planet, refugees who are fleeing countries that are impacted by sea level rise, resource depletion and climate-related conflict or war, socioeconomically disadvantaged populations who are less able to adapt to climate drivers, including heat, food scarcity and water shortages, as well as children, women, the elderly, the mentally unwell, who will be particularly vulnerable to exist to mental health exacerbations.
Adesh, something that stood out to me amongst their conclusions was this comment, and I quote, "Given the unexplained rise in suicide rates in today's youth and the evidence that environmental factors may be the most important risk for suicide in some studies, it is incumbent on future suicide researchers to take climatic factors into account."
That's a great point, Mark, and it ties in again with the podcast that we did a few months ago looking at the mental health impacts from climate change on our youth populations around the world. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you very much for listening to episode 11 of Be The Expert, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.